for. If you live in Port Pirie or Snowtown, the temperature crept up over 45 today, and you came pretty close to having the power being turned off by SA Power Networks. It was a preventative thing that they were doing. The risk of that is now reduced, bushfire conditions easing as well. But it really shows the fact that that decision was potentially being made about the vulnerability of power networks during extreme temperatures like we've got now, and for as long as we've got them as well. Tim Buckley is the founder and director of Climate Energy Finance. Tim, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Matt.
So how vulnerable is our power network in a heat wave?
The power network is definitely vulnerable. As we heard from earlier with your interview with South Australian Power Networks, it is vulnerable. It needs, it's a grid system we've invested in over the last 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years. And what we do know is the climate science has long warned extreme weather events are going to get more frequent and more extreme. And so we need to invest significantly in system resilience and system upgrades and modernization. And so it's the grid system, and I will just preempt the obvious point. This is not about what type of fuel we're using to power the grid. It's about the grid system resilience, because extreme weather events are becoming more extreme. They will get more frequent. And 40, 45 degree temperatures you just mentioned, that's extreme. We've got to prepare for that. And that means we've got to invest and prepare.
Okay, Tim. So why is the system, the grid that we've got, why is that so susceptible to heat?
Well, the actual grid system is susceptible to heat, particularly in remote locations where you've only got a very old, thin, small copper wire going over 50 or 100, 200 kilometres to remote towns. And the grid system is prone to bushfire risk. And so South Australian Power Networks will actually shut it down in order to prevent bushfires or in response to that. And just extreme temperatures. At the end of the day, the electricity system, some of these wires were put in 50, 60 years ago. They weren't anticipating regular occurrences of 45 degree temperatures. And so we need to reinvest, we need to upgrade them, or alternatively, we need to, I think, actually prepare and take certain end of grid towns off grid and actually build remote power plants, microgrids, and build systems using technologies available today in 2026 that were never even contemplated 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. And that can build grid system resilience at a lot cheaper price than actually constantly repairing hundreds and hundreds of kilometres of grids that might be serving a small community.
Tim Buckley is founder and director of Climate Energy Finance. So interesting, a couple of things you've said there. I just want to clarify with you. So you were talking about system resilience and not necessarily the fuel that we use to generate. What did you, do you mean by that? So it doesn't matter what if we're using fossil fuels?
It does absolutely matter if we're using fossil fuels. The climate science is what is driving this. Extreme weather events are getting more extreme and more frequent because of the climate science, which is all about modelling the impact of man-made climate change, which is a reflection of burning fossil fuels. So they emit carbon dioxide, that increases extreme weather events. I'm a finance analyst, I'm an energy analyst, I have been that for 40 years, I'm not a climate scientist, but when every climate scientist I've ever spoken to that's not employed by a fossil fuel company tells me the climate science is real, we've known about it for 45 years, their models were, if anything, too conservative. Every time I talk to the top actuaries in the world, the top insurance companies in the world, they tell us the climate science is real. Sorry, I've just bitten. You said fossil fuels. That is ultimately the problem. But if we're also, like, not in South Australia, but Victoria and New South Wales, we've got a lot of 45-year-old coal-fired power plants. And South Australia does import power from South Australia, from Victoria. And hopefully when Project Energy Connect is finally operationalised, we'll be exporting power from New South Wales down to South Australia. And more importantly, exporting it from South Australia to New South Wales, that will build system resilience. But when it's 45 degrees, a coal-fired power plant is extremely unreliable, particularly if it was built 50 years ago. At the end of the day, it's the grid that's why you were talking to South Australian Power Networks, not a wind farm, not a solar farm, not a gas-fired power plant. It's the grid resilience. Where if the grid falls, as it did in 2016 because of 1-in-100-year wind events that knocked the grid over, physically knocked the grid over, it was wind that caused the grid to collapse, but it wasn't that it was wind farms that caused it to collapse. It was the extreme weather events that's caused by climate science.
So, Tim, just going back to something you said before, do we need to go back to the way it was where everywhere had their own power generation? Like there was a power station, you know, in every small town, and in bigger cities, then it was sort of more regional. Is that the kind of model we need to think about?
I think for remote towns, absolutely. So, I mean, you're talking about the impact of Port Pirie. It would be very sensible for Port Pirie to have a big battery and a virtual power plant and effectively a microgrid system that actually is far more resilient and not reliant on 200 kilometres of cables that were built 50 years ago. That technology is so much more advanced today in 2026 than it was 10, 20 years ago. And battery prices in the last 10 years have dropped by 95%. So the cost of those solutions and the speed they can be deployed, I think we do need to think about end of grid reliability. It's always going to be far less reliable at the end of the grid than, say, for Adelaide or where I live up in Sydney. You're going to have a different solution for the major centres versus the regional centres. Where a bushfire goes through, you're going to be off grid for a week because the grid's burnt down. If you had a remote town with a remote power system, you can still keep the connection to the main grid, but you're going to have the ability to island the grid. And that islanding technology, Western Australia has been trialling that for 10 years with Horizon Power. We've got to think about that. The solutions are changing rapidly. The costs are coming down rapidly. The cost of grid transmission's going through the roof. We need to think about economic viability, economic resilience, and we've got to invest in the system. Now, batteries aren't the only solution, but rooftop solar. When you have an extreme weather event like you've just had today, we know when it's really hot, the solar generation is going to be at record highs. So you can actually align solar power generation with the need for air conditioning, but you also need to insulate the houses. You need to insulate community centres. Mm. We need to invest in resilience across the board, and we need to prepare. But all of this, I'll keep coming back to it, is because the climate science says continuing to rely on burning fossil fuels is not a viable solution for the world or for Australia or for South Australia. We've got to move to low emissions technologies that are viable and sustainable, and I'd also argue dramatically lower costs than the traditional systems we relied on 10, 20 years ago.
All right. Tim, we'll leave it there, but do thank you for your thoughts this afternoon.
Brilliant. Thanks, Matt.
Tim Buckley is Director of Climate Energy Finance. It's interesting, isn't it, and what we need to do to make sure that the power can keep going. Because, I mean, like I said earlier, there were six places around, that's the same now, that are without power across South Australia. There's about 800, nearly 900 people affected by that. And it's a small number compared to the population of the state, but still, you don't want to be without power on a day like today if you're trying to keep cool, especially. 24 to 5.